Welcome to the Living Permaculture Show on Public Radio KDNK. I'm your host, Stephanie Sison. Jerome is out of the studio today, but we are excited to welcome him back next month. In the hot seat today, I'm here and happy to have local rancher and educator Brooke Levan from Sustainable Settings. Brooke is a dear friend, and I'm thrilled to have him join us on the show today. Welcome to the show, Brooke.
Hello there.
Here in Carbondale, Colorado, we are having a bit of an early spring weather that is encouraging ranchers to get out and start working in their spring on their spring to-do lists. Are you feeling that over at Sustainable Settings?
Well, we harrowed this morning. It is February. The February thaw.
The February thaw.
Yeah.
That's new.
Yeah, that's pretty new.
And what is harrowing for our listeners who are not ranchers and don't understand that term?
Well, we rotate our cattle, move them every day. So even in the winter, we feed them in a different place. And that puts it's really more about where the manure falls. We want to feed the animals, but it's about the fertility cycle. And so what we do is, all winter long that is laid out across the field. And so you got to break up those pies. So we harrow and break up the pies, and then if we get a little weather, it sinks down in and feeds the soil life.
So do you feel that the early spring gives you a jump on your to-do list, or do you think that it adds pressure?
Well, anytime it warms up in the spring, any rancher or farmer has anxiety and takes every window they can to do things that they need to do.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So today on the show, we're going to be talking about biodynamic agriculture. Perhaps many of our listeners out there have heard of the term, maybe only in reference to wine, because that seems to be an area of agriculture where it's really, really taken off. But we have our own expert here in the Valley, which is Brooke, who's with us today. And so when someone first stumbles into biodynamic agriculture, it's sometimes fairly difficult to comprehend what it is about, since most proponents are a little bit hesitant to go into anything but the sketchiest of descriptions. Even then, those descriptions sometimes focus on the farm as an individuality, which is true, or other intellectual concepts that still leave someone somewhat in the dark about how the actual practice of this form of agriculture is different from other approaches to agriculture. So I'd love, just to get us rolling off, Brooke, your elevator speech for biodynamics, which is difficult. Often we ask this of permaculture practitioners as well, because it's a very complicated and detailed practice. So if you could just, someone completely naive and had never heard of biodynamics, what would be your couple sentences to describe what that is?
So biodynamics in 20 minutes, that's going to be interesting. I should maybe couch the whole thing in what we've done at Sustainable Settings and what we're, we've been on that land now 14 years. Mm-hmm. And we established the organization really as an experiment. Agriculture is a 10,000-year-old experiment. And so when we looked around 20 years ago, we saw a lot of what wasn't working. And so we thought we would see what we could try. Rose has a quote on her computer that says, make new mistakes. And so we're out there.
And Rose is your
Rose
wife.
Rose is my
Rose
wife,
Levan.
Sorry, and co-founder of Sustainable Settings. So, yeah, so the idea really was to not necessarily be a permaculture institute or not be a biodynamic but to be a whole systems learning center, a working ranch. And so we test and we try things. And if it works, then we keep it in our quiver. So for years we posted, of course, permaculture and do all the right organic methods and techniques, compost and rotation, management intensive grazing and all these other things that on the physical level and on the horizontal level were showing progress. It took years to do that. We didn't do the what is more called conventional agriculture today, which is an interesting use of the word. Mm. But more industrial conventional methods are, you know, farming and tilling and doing these things. And so, for instance, in the pasture, we decided, well, you know, our neighbors are farming their hay, which means about every 6-8 years they till up the ground and then they plant, they leave it fallow or to the sky, the dirt to the sky all winter, and then they'll plant oats. And then after that, they'll plant, and they'll harvest oat hay. And the second year, they plant oats and the hay crop. But what they've done is kind of wipe out everything else that was there. What we did, for instance, in the field was to key out all the species. And then we went to the idea of, well, let's add diversity. And so we designed different species to add to it. So we were after mountain meadow, for instance, versus just a hay crop. So those are all the physical things. And we did all that and things were progressing. So about 06, we started to add biodynamic preparations to our compost and to begin to use the biodynamic preparations. And so what are they? They are, I guess they're homeopathic treatments that stimulate, like homeopathy works in the human body. It's a little bit of parts per million or billion or whatever that tells your body, hey, rise to this occasion.
Right. So it's tiny little amounts of a certain, or in homeopathic medicine, we'd be using certain plants, of course, which in biodynamics we use as well. And there's just a small amount that's so tiny, but it wakes your body up to the greater intelligence that it already has. So it's kind of following that's along those principles.
Perfect way to put it. Yeah. So, for instance, you know, hovering over the land and over all of us and what we breathe every day is what we breathe every day is 79% nitrogen. So I have trouble with logic. And so if there's 79% nitrogen hovering over the pasture, why do we go out and buy tons of synthetic nitrogen and dump it on the land? Why don't we just stimulate the response in the plants and in the soil life to sequester the nitrogen that's already in the air? Legumes and the symbiotic microbiotic organisms or microbes that they work with.
Like nitrogen fixing crops like clover and alfalfa
and other things like that. And so that's what we're doing. So we took a very different way to stimulate the soil and the life of the soil. Really, biodynamics for me has been more about an intimacy with the land and working with rebuilding my relationship and those who work on the ranch, their relationship with all of the life that's there. Can you make a tomato?
Can I make a tomato? No, I cannot.
Right. Can you make a lamb chop?
No, I sure can't.
Right. So there's a lot of life out there that really we're collaborating with. And so putting our hubris and ego aside and letting go and doing silly things like saying, oh, what a beautiful flower. Acknowledging the life. Doing things like that, you know, working with your animals in a kind way. Come to watch us milk in the morning. We don't have stanchions on the cows. They all have, well, almost all have horns.
Real quick on the milking, because you brought it up. If there's anyone in the valley who doesn't know about your wonderful dairy, can you give us a quick plug for that? And if you're still open to accepting customers and share members, what that looks like and how people can get involved, because your milk is amazing. And my family and my daughter did not drink milk for a long time until we found you. And now it's kind of almost like a treat to her.
Well, you didn't find me. You found our cows and you found our grass and you found our soil. And by the way, we don't want to plug it because there's always a wait list. But if you are interested, you can call and learn about it. As soon as we bring another cow into the cycle, there's kind of a rotating 25 people that always want the milk. So we're not advertising. those that are lucky enough to get it. The dairy's an example of really our entrepreneurship ideas, too. We're not here to dominate the raw dairy market. When we set it up, it was an idea that we thought, well, the land is the limit, the 90 acres we're working. And so we can milk maybe 20, 25 cows, or 22 maybe. But if it works economically, it's an example for others to take up on, just like CSAs or other things. So, again, we're here to try to see what that amount of land and that amount of water can actually do to feed people. One thing that's happening since we have begun to do more and more, I would say the advanced levels of research on the ranch are in the biodynamic and beyond area, and there's too much to talk about there, but it's that vertical relationship, and I talked about the physical and the horizontal before. It's bringing in the vertical, you can call it whatever you want, human relationships, our intent, you can call it spiritual, you can call it whatever you want, whatever your mythology happens to be. Since we have been stewarding the place more in that way, we have watched our relationship, and we've watched the life there respond in such a way that the qualities of the milk, our meat and our vegetables, and even their medicinals. In fact, you did an experiment last year. Could you tell us about the expression of oils, for instance, you got for your product?
Sure. So our listeners are pretty well aware of my affection, maybe bordering on obsession, with medicinal herbs. And last year, we leased a small parcel of land out at Sustainable Settings to grow different medicinal herbs, to both supply our product line, but also as a bit of an experiment. We grew a lot of calendula flower, which is a pretty common medicinal herb in the trade and in lots of different products. Many people enjoy its skin healing qualities. We used to use a certain ratio. So if you're making an oil with a certain plant like calendula, you would put maybe 4 parts oil and 1 part flour and infuse that to get the calendula oil that you're looking for. And the flowers that we grew out at Sustainable Settings were completely different. They completely threw our ratios through a loop, and we ended up with an oil for our creams that was completely orange, and there was no amount of essential oil that could make it smell not like calendula. So we ended up having to cut the amount of flowers down to more like 10-to-1 of oil to flowers in order to get a similar quality product that we were used to getting from calendula grown somewhere else.
That was 4-to-1.
Right. That was 4-to-1.
So it was over double.
Right. So it was stronger. The vibrancy, the energy of the plant, the smell, the color, everything about it was more alive than any of the herbs we have gotten from anywhere else. So we were able to see that with organoleptics and just really identifying with sight and smell and taste the difference. It was startling.
Yeah. So this is what we're finding with nutrient density and everything that we're producing. And we've been engaged, the NRCS, which is a branch of the USDA. We've been working with Derek Wiley there, and he is a soil conservationist for the NRCS based out of Glenwood. And he came to us in probably 2013 and said, hey, we've got this new soil testing regime, and we wondered if you would like to be part of it. We're gonna run this test on about 75 ranches and farms in Colorado. And they're going to be everything from kind of you guys who are the nut jobs down on the organic biodynamic end. And the you know, everything in between that and giant, you know, industrial monocropping, GMO, till kind of things, and everything in between. And so we are now in our, we have 3 years of data. So we did a baseline in 14. The soil test in 15 showed remarkable gains in the soil life, and 16 as well. We also test our hay, which is not really a common practice around us. And we do a forage test, and we're looking for relative feed value and other things. And what we're seeing is that we are extracting, of course, nutrients from the pastures, from the gardens, from the soil, to feed people and feed ourselves and feed people and our animals. And so that is an extraction of nutrients, correct? And so we do the soil test after that, typically after the harvest. And what we are finding is soil life and the fertility bank that we are managing is actually climbing, even though we are feeding people and extracting the nutrients. This is not what is going on in most other large-scale agriculture.
We're going to pause right there for 1 second. Thank you for tuning in to Public Radio KDNK. This is the Living Permaculture Show. We are here talking with my dear friend and local rancher, Brooke Levan of Sustainable Settings. We were just talking about the tangible results that you're getting from your practices. The you mentioned something really interesting in that a lot of farmers and ranchers are extracting from the soil. They're producing a crop, they're producing meat or some kind of vegetable crop and sending it away. And oftentimes that's at the degradation of their soil and their soil life and the nutrients in there. And you're finding that your soil test, even though you're still selling things to consumers and sending things off of your farm, your soil is getting better?
It's actually improving, yeah. Remarkable. I don't have all the data with me. People, if you want to call or come by, I'd be happy to share the soil test with you. But people like Derek and other soil conservationists who are watching these things are saying, good God, man, your, you know, organic matter is this and your soil biota is that, and up 20 or 120%. And so there's things like that. So we're getting actually hard data, which I don't need very much because I can taste the difference, and so can others who consume our food. But and, you know, what we haven't done is give any credit to Rudolf Steiner and who really was an incredible researcher and was called upon by these Austrian ranchers in the early 20s. And in 1924, he gave a series of 9 lectures that are called the agricultural lectures. In that, he gave indications of some of these things that we should do that would help stimulate the life. And so anyway, I wanted to also, I don't know how much time we have.
You are good.
We're good. But we have also we have a quite a range of educational opportunities at the ranch, and they're you know, everything from We have a B class coming up again. Corwin Bell's coming back, and
he's a fabulous teacher.
He's amazing. But we have a series on biodynamics, as long as we're talking about that. And Lloyd Nelson, who has 20 years in the field of making the preparations and teaching, is co-teaching with me. And we're going to have the first one coming up is March 8th, which is just around the corner. And that's looking at the biodynamic astronomy and working with the planting calendar. And so there are rhythms, natural rhythms, and those are based on planetary movements, and they're placed on the stars and the sun and the moon and all that. Somebody says, well, you know, what is that all about? I said, well, turn the sun off.
What do you have then?
What happens when the sun's turned off? Or does the moon have any effect on you? Do you ever notice little peaks in your attitude or their joy or your...
The hospitals flooding with people every full moon.
Or as my brother used to do in Boulder, the bouncers, they would put 3 or 4 or more bouncers in the bars, you know. Anyway, on a full moon. So there's that one, and that's an evening course, 6 to 9 at the ranch, and that's to help people understand those rhythms and how they can benefit from them. How much time do I have? Can I tell a story?
Tell a story. Okay. How long is your story?
Okay. Short story. To test this, not only do we plant these, we also harvest by these rhythms. And one time I said, okay, well, we've got onions in the field. Let's test and harvest the onions on different days. So there's root days, flower days, leaf days, right? And so onions are root crop. So I said, well, let's harvest some of the bed on a root day, and right after that's a leaf day, and after that's a fruit day. And so we harvested this one bed of onions, same species of onions, and we put them down into the root cellar under the ranch house. And the leaf, the ones harvested on a leaf day, lasted about 3 months, and then they leafed out. They sprouted green onions in storage. And then the ones on a fruit day, they rotted in a month and a half. And the ones that we harvested on a root day lasted until the next crop was harvested the following August.
Wow.
And they were hard and firm in storage. So everything matters. And so what we're doing with biodynamics, or with any of the farming or ranching techniques that we're doing, is tuning, fine tuning, and looking for that 10, 15, 20, maybe even 30 or 40% extra nutrients, nutrient density and flavor. We're looking for higher health and all the systems. We don't call the vet anymore for our animals. When we first started there, we called Morgan, you know, and she's great. But we don't call the vet anymore. I apologized to her last time she was out.
For the lack of business.
It's been about 6 years. And so she smiled. She said, that's good. So this classic, let me do this quick. It's March 8th, and that's called Biodynamic Astronomy. It's working with the planting calendar, kind of deciphering that and how to use it. Then there's March 11th, Saturday, 10 to 4, full day on tree care, biodynamic tree care. And that will expand your ideas of working with trees. It is, it's a little bit of pruning and fertilization, but it's also other things. And trees are great broadcasters of energies. And so we're working with them. And then Biodynamics 101, and this has been popular. And that's kind of a one full day. It's 10 to 5 on May 7th. And that's really, that's taking you through all the nine preparations. It's taking you through how to make a few, but also really how to use them and what these things do to add to the physical or the horizontal that we all can know and that we see. So biodynamics is a little bit about the unknown or the unseen in the process. What do we know anyway, right?
Right, get the ego out of the way. We don't know really that much at all.
Right.
It's important to our listeners probably to have those options of these larger classes, since obviously 28 minutes is not going to cover it. And since my first question was, what's your elevator speech on biodynamics? And we spent 20 minutes not saying that.
Right.
Only barely covering the tiniest little fringe details and hopefully wetting the palate and getting people excited and interested and intrigued about what all of this is. It's really fascinating stuff. It's something that, as an herbalist with the herbal preparations, drew me in right away. A lot of us are, like you said, very aware of the moon, but what else out there is there? And what else is influencing us as people, but also our plants and our land? And so it's really, it's a really detailed and in-depth process that no one will probably ever be the expert in. We're only learning day by day. And you, I introduced you as an expert of it. But I know you tell me all the time you're the student of it as well.
Yeah, and like everything we try out there, I said, don't take my word for it. Try it. And that's what we do out there. So I don't know, you want to wrap anything up?
We are going to wrap it up. Okay. I would love for you to give your contact information for our listeners.
We're sustainablesettings.org on the internet. And you can get a hold of me at Brooke, B-R-O-O-K, at sustainablesettings.org. come out and visit. We're 5 minutes from town, from Carbondale, and we are open to the public. We do have some hours that we're closed, but I would say if you want to come out, we probably accommodate.
So thanks for joining us today, Brooke, and thanks for our listeners to tuning in to the Living Permaculture Show on Public Radio KDNK. Until next month, keep your hands in the dirt and remember the words of the great Wendell Berry: the soil is the great connector of lives, the source and destination of all. It is the healer and the restorer and the resurrector by which disease passes into health, age into youth, and death into life. Have a great day.
Right on, Wendell.